John chapter 8, we're going to look at some of the words of Christ. So we read this portion of scripture, we catch him in the midst of a message, having delivering a sermon. And so we're going to begin in verse number 28 of John chapter 8. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 8, verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us this morning as we give this really what's going to be an introductory message to tonight's message. But I would pray, Lord, that you would take this message and the truths of this message and help Christians today. These words that he spoke to those that believed on him. So those of us that are saved, Lord, we need to hear these words. We need to understand these words. Lord, we need to be freed by truth. And I pray, Lord, for that person that may be here without Jesus as their Savior, dear God, we'll, of course, include, Lord, the message of the gospel this morning. And I pray that that message would connect to their heart. And Holy Spirit, you would use it to bring them under conviction, bring them to Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. On Sunday nights, I'm preaching a series entitled The 40 Biggest Issues of the Last 40 Years. This is our 40th anniversary here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And one of the things that I had on my list was a message entitled The Defamation of Truth. The Defamation of Truth. I don't think truth has just been defamed. I think truth in this age has been demonized. It's crazy that people, I think for the most part, would rather hear a lie and believe a lie than hear the truth and believe the truth. And truth has taken a hit. I studied this out. And by the way, when I study something, I study it. I will promise you this, I'm not a perfect preacher, and I'm sure that there's many areas that I fall short in. But I don't lack in my preparation. I spend time studying and digging, preparing so that my people can be fed every week. I do that sometimes, perhaps at the neglect of other things. But I believe that if you look at the apostles and their pattern, they gave themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And those are my two top priorities here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't apologize to anybody for that. I'm going to spend the time I need to in prayer, and I'm going to spend the time I need to in studying and preparing to preach the word of God. And then whatever time I have left, I'll do the best I can. Sometimes, every once in a while, let me just help you, and I'm not complaining. And if you need me, I'll move heaven and earth to get to you. But sometimes a member say, "Preacher, if I could just have an hour a week of your time." Well, look around, folks. Honestly, look around. I it sounds great, and there's nobody in here that I wouldn't love to spend an hour a week with. But you have to also understand that we all operate under human limitations. And so I do the best I can. But one of the things I'm not going to shortchange our people in is preparing. Now, folks, listen to me. Truth has been defamed, and truth needs to be stood up for. Truth has been demonized. We live in a time where people, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, really, I'm not sure, want the truth anymore. Now, I kind of expect that of the world, but I don't understand that in the Church of Jesus Christ. I think that Christians ought to be hungry for the truth. I think they want to hear the truth. I think they'd want the truth. I think they'd want to embrace the truth. But it seems like we live in a time where if a man stands and preaches the truth, not only is the truth demonized, but that man is demonized. And so churches, these mega churches, these Burger King churches, have it your way churches, are growing in leaps and bounds because, you know what, that man, if you want to call him a man, I don't think he's a man, that male that stands behind the pulpit, sometimes a female, will give them and tell them what they want to hear. Who cares if it's a lie? If they want to hear it, let's tell it to them. Let's make them happy. Let's say what they want to hear. But if you're called to preach and you're bound to the scriptures, as every man of God should be, you can't do that. You need to preach the truth. If you come and see me and you need advice, look right up here. Let me help you, church. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to sit there and bobblehead lies. I'm not going to agree with the lies. If you've been deceived, I'm not going to be deceived with you so you'll feel better. I'm going to speak the truth to you. That's the only way I know how to operate. You see, folks, listen to me. I've always wanted the truth. Amen. I want the truth when it hurts. I want the truth when it exposes me. I want the truth when it hurts me sometimes. I want the truth. I don't want to live a lie. I don't want to believe a lie. I want the truth. Whatever the truth is, that's where I want to fall. I want to fall the same place. I want to stand where the truth stands. That's where I want to be. I want to be for truth. Now, let me tell you some things about the truth. And again, even though we are going to preach the bulk of this message, probably the meat of this message tonight, I'm going to preach a message that'll be somewhat of an introductory to tonight. And also, I think we'll leave you with some great things and hopefully just clarify some things in your life. But Jesus made an astounding statement here to those that were saved. Now, folks, they are saved. Watch this. They're saved, but they're not yet free. Now, they're free from the penalty of sin. They're free from hell. They're free from eternal damnation. But in their lives, they're still not free. So after they get saved, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now watch this. And I want to say this to everybody that's gotten saved here. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see, salvation's not the end, salvation's the beginning. Right. Salvation doesn't result in Christian maturity, salvation results in new birth. Okay, it makes you a babe in Christ, not an adult in Christ. And he said to these new Christians, now you can remain a baby, or you can grow to discipleship. And if you're going to grow to discipleship, then you have to continue in my word. Because he says, in my word, you're going to find something. T-R-U-T-H. You're going to find the truth in my word. And when you know the truth shall make you free. And so you can be saved here this morning and still be bound by sin. Come on now. You can be saved here this morning and still be bound by destructive habits. You can be saved here this morning and still be hindered by worldly philosophies. And most of us are more brainwashed than we want to admit just by growing up in this wicked world and listening to the stuff and hearing the stuff we know. Now, folks, listen to me. Truth will always lead to freedom. Truth will make you free. Lies always bind you. You say, well, I'm just more comfortable believing this lie. You may think you're comfortable, but you're not. You're bound, because every time somebody tells a lie or believes a lie or lives a lie, they bind themselves with a demonic chain. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. I want to give you some things about the truth. I want to tell you why Jesus said this morning. If you know the truth, how am I going to know the truth? You're going to continue in my word. If you get in the Bible and you learn the truth will make you free. Now, there's a struggle going on in the hearts of many of you right here this morning. You know what? You are struggling against believing the truth and believing a lie. And I want to try to encourage you to let truth win out in your life. Let me say some things, and again, this is kind of introductory to what we'll say tonight, but I'm going to give you some good stuff this morning too. Number one, our holy God is a God of truth. Our holy God is a God of truth. I'm going to read a lot of verses to you this morning. Have you turned to a few, but I got to read a lot of them. So I'm going to give you the Bible. Amen. Number one, it is impossible. Underneath that, our holy God is a God of truth. It is impossible for God to lie. Paul, Titus chapter 1, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You see, folks, you say, preacher, can God do anything? No, he can't do anything. Is there anything God can't do? Yeah, there's some things God can't do. He can't sin. And the Bible says right here, he can't tell a lie. You know why? Because telling a lie is sin. Hebrews 6:13, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. So two times in the scriptures, this statement, it is impossible for God to lie, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You got to understand, folks, that a lie has never escaped the lips of God. God does not tell lies. God does not believe lies. God does not live a lie. God is truth. Matter of fact, not only is God the Father incapable of lying, but Jesus and the truth are synonymous in the scriptures. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When he came here, he was full of truth. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How about John 14:6? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Matter of fact, the truth and Jesus are so synonymous, so connected, that he uses the truth as one of the titles, one of the names that he goes by. He said, I am the truth. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So we see that that we have a holy God that is a God of truth. It's impossible for God to lie. That's God the Father. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is synonymous with the truth. The Holy Spirit, the last member of the triune God, always points us to the truth, is known by this title, the Spirit of Truth. John 14:17, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Look right up here. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit never told you a lie, and the Holy Spirit never led you to believe a lie. The Holy Spirit never amens a lie. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that good? How about Romans 9:1? I love this. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. When your preacher gets up and he preaches the truth of the Word of God, you know what? In Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God bears witness in your conscience that it is the truth. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. 1 John 5:6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. Now let me give you this one great first point here. Our holy God is a God of truth. If you're going to grow in grace, and you're going to grow in godliness, then you have to listen to the truth, face the truth, understand the truth, believe the truth, embrace the truth. And in doing so, you're going to be freed a lot of things that are hindering you right now in your life. Come on, young people, do you want the truth? Do you seek people out that's going to tell you the truth? Do you set up straight and tall, listen to the preacher when he's telling you the truth and preaching the truth? Or would you rather just listen to lies, believe lies, and live a lie? Number one, our holy God is a God of truth. Number two, a holy God has given us a holy book that contains the truth. Now, this book that I hold in my hand, folks, is truth. It contains the truth. These are the very words of God. Galatians 2:5, to whom he gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. This book contains many things, but one of the things it contains is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me say this, folks, the gospel is the truth. What's this book contain, preacher? It contains the gospel. And you know what? The gospel is the truth. Galatians 2:5, the truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:14, and when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the world the truth of the gospel. What is the gospel, preacher? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What is the gospel? It's spelled out very plainly, very specifically for us there. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Hey, that's the truth. Now, you'll put your faith and trust in that and go to heaven, or you'll trust in something else and split hell wide open, but that's the truth. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to believe the gospel, and the gospel is true. And so this book contains the gospel. First of all, I want to take a minute and stop here because I never know who's here, and I don't want to pass up this opportunity to just point people to Jesus Christ for a minute here, but listen to me, I don't care. Well, you see, preacher, I got a different idea. I got a different opinion. I think that it's going to be this way. Well, you can think all you want to, but you better get in this book and find out the truth. You see, this book has always flown against the wisdom of man's thinking and man's ways. And you know what? It's always proclaimed Jesus or nothing. Jesus is everything. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I mean, there is no second, third, fourth, fifth way of getting to heaven. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are sinners. That's why Christ had to die for our sins, according to the scriptures. There's no sinful man that'll ever walk into heaven unless those sins have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you forego that, try to pass that, try to dodge that, and say, I'm going to show up one of these days and God's going to accept me on my own merits. Yeah, preacher, I've done some wrong, but I do some good. And you know what? The good makes up for the wrong. No, you'll never find anywhere in the scripture where doing something good ever covers sin, ever forgives sin, ever erases sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says that our good, the best we have, is like filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. No man's ever going to work their way to heaven, be good enough to get to heaven. You'll go through the blood of Jesus Christ or you won't go at all. That's what this book says. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But listen to me, Christians. The words that Jesus spoke here in our text, in our opening text, was not for the lost. Yes. The words that he spoke was for those that were saved. You see, this book doesn't just contain gospel truth. This book contains living truth. God wants us to understand something. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you continue in the word, you're going to know the truth. And if you learn the truth, you're going to be made free. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. What I said in the beginning is very important. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're free. Not in all areas of your life. I mean, the minute you got saved, every sinful habit disappeared, evaporated in that second. No, you know what? You still had to deal with some of those sinful habits. You had to break free of them. How did you do that? You got into the Word of God. You found out what the Bible says. You found out the truth. You embraced the truth. You believed the truth. Watch this. You obeyed the truth, and the truth set you free from that sin. That's what Christian growth is. Christian growth is a process where we keep going to the Bible and we learn more things, more truth, and then we look at our lives, and if we're not obeying that truth, we begin to obey that truth. And you know what? When we obey that truth, it frees us in some area of our life where we've been bound by a lie. Okay? And so you have to decide, are you going to just be a Christian, or are you going to be a Bible-reading, Bible-believing, Bible-obeying Christian? Amen. Seems like some folks nowadays, they just want enough Jesus to escape hell. I just want to know what the gospel is. I'm not sure I want to know what the rest of it says. But the folks, what you don't understand, even though you're eternally you've been taken care of, let me share this with you. You are still bound in many areas of your life, and the only thing that's going to free you is the truth. What's the truth? Hey, let's cut past all the baloney. What's the truth? Hardest thing in the world, just get people to face the truth. They want to say this, they want to say this, they want to say this, they want to build all these straw man arguments, and the honest truth is they just won't say the truth. What's the truth? Okay, what's the Bible say? Is this book, preacher, can it be trusted? John 8:40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Man, when Jesus preached, he told them the truth. How about John 17:17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book's true. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, oh, I wish I could get every Christian to get this attitude, this Thessalonica attitude. When you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, too many of you are leaving this church, and you're walking out after a sermon, you're saying, well, you know what Pastor Jerry says about this? Listen, I'm not preaching what Pastor Jerry thinks. I'm preaching what this book said. It's amazing to me. I'll tell you the truth, and I'll show you the scriptures to back up the truth, and somebody will tell you a lie, and they don't have one verse in the Bible to back up their lie, and you'll believe a lie over the truth. Okay, now listen. Come to church. Bring your Bible. Bring an open heart. Bring some honesty. Bring a hunger for the truth. Lay yourself open. Lay yourself bare. Tell the Holy Spirit, that spirit of truth. Tell me the truth. Convict me of truth. And you know what? Every time that you do that, you deal with something that's been a lie in your life up to that point. Something you've lied to yourself about or lied to others about. And you face the truth and obey the truth. You know what? Again, you become freer and freer and freer in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And I want you to understand something, and I want to make sure I get this in everybody's heart and head. Look right up here. This book contains truth. If this book says something and somebody else says something different, this book's the truth and that person's a liar. Are you listening to me? I don't care who they are. I don't care what kind of title they have. I don't care if you're related to them or not. If they tell you something opposite that's in this book, let God be true and every man a liar. Do you want the truth? Do you want to be free? You may think it's more comfortable believing lies, but every time you believe a lie, there's another demonic chain that captures you and restricts you and prevents you from doing and being everything that God wants you to be. Do you want the truth? That's a question you have to ask yourself. You say, preacher, so far we've covered that our holy God is a God of the truth, and that holy God's given us a holy book that contains the truth. Now, what's the other side of the coin? Let me tell you what the other side of the coin is. Satan is the father of all lies. From the first time he's introduced in the scriptures, he shows us that he is a liar. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field. This is the devil's first appearance in Genesis 3. Watch this. And the Lord God had made it. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, watch this, ye shall not surely die. Okay, now, we've got God over here that says, if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. You got the devil over here saying, if you eat of the fruit, you're not going to die. Somebody's telling the truth, and somebody's a liar. Boy, he showed us who he was from the minute he appeared on the scene. Genesis 3, chapters into the Bible, and the liar shows up. That's why Jesus said this in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, listen, here you go. Do you want to be influenced? Do you want to embrace? Do you want to know the truth? If you do, you come to God. If you are more interested in hearing a lie, you go to the devil. Okay, because that's what the devil does. He lies. There's no truth in him. He's never told the truth about anything. By the way, he's never told the truth, and God's never told a lie. Now, young people, I'm going to try to kill this idea of a little white lie. You ever heard that statement, little white lie? There's no such thing as a little lie, and there's no such thing as a white lie. Did you just get what that said? It said this. It says, I want you to, let's just sink into us. Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. So he speaks lies. Watch this. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now watch this. I want you to really stop, young people, and think. By the way, us adults, let's just tune in ourselves right here. I want you to really think the next time you're tempted to tell a lie. We've got this idea. Boy, I wish you'd done the study that I've done. I wish you've spent the hours that I've spent. You chase the word truth all through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. You chase that word truthfulness. You chase that word lie and liar. And let me tell you something. You're going to come up with something. This idea that a lie is a little sin. Not a big sin, just a little sin. And a white sin does not stack up with the scriptures. Now watch this. If it is the devil, watch this. I want you to get this. If it is the devil that fathers every lie, are you thinking? He's the father of it. If it's the devil that fathers every lie, then it's impossible for me or you to tell a lie without interacting with the devil. Sometimes we got this idea that, oh, preacher, you need to preach against the Ouija board, because you get kids messing around with Ouija boards, they're going to open up doors of demonic influence in their life. And by the way, you shouldn't mess with a Ouija board or anything else that has to do with the occult. Oh, we're just playing around. That's nothing to play around with. You are opening up a door of satanic influence in your life. But wait a minute! You're opening the same door when you tell a lie. When you live a lie. When you choose to believe a lie. You want to interact with lying? You're interacting with the devil. Because see, there's no way in the world you can lie and say, well, that was of God. Because God's never told a lie. He has no association with the lie. God is committed to the truth. He wears that as his title. God says, I deal in truth. Only truth. And the devil says, there's no truth in me. There's lies. Now, I'm going to help some young people. Some of you, listen to me, come on, look right up here. Some of you lied to mom and dad this week. You lied to mom and dad this week. You just told them a lie. Well, I didn't exactly lie. Wait a minute. If it wasn't exactly the truth, then you lied. I say this every once in a while, but if you go to a court of law, you're going to be a witness. You're going to put your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and say, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because a lie takes three forms. An out-and-out untruth is a lie. So thou shalt tell, I will tell the truth. The whole truth, leaving something out of the truth, not telling the whole truth is a lie. Well, I didn't lie to him. Well, if you didn't tell him the whole truth, then you lied. Go home and something happened to school or something happened in some other arena of your life, and you go to your parents and you tell this big story about what happened, and everything you tell is the truth. You just forgot to tell some of the truth that would make you look more guilty than you really want to look. So you just conveniently leave it out. You lied. You need to treat, listen, one of the things I believe you ought to do, you ought to treat the truth as sacredly as you would treat the person of Jesus Christ. lot of half-truths floating around Blessed Hope Baptist Church. A lot of half-truths, a lot of embellished truths. You know what they are? Lies. That's what they are. They're lies. You're not going to tell the whole truth, shut up. If you're going to tell part of a truth, shut up. I mean, you want to deal in truth? Or do you want to deal in lies? Come on now. And so we see that this is what the devil does. He's in the lying business. He wants you to believe a lie. How about this? Acts 5:3. Preacher, I need more scripture. Oh, I got some. Here we go. Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan... Watch this. This little phrase ought to scare Christians to death. Was Ananias a lost person or a saved person? Then think about what he says here. He says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart? Filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. It wasn't God that filled your heart to say that, which you know is not the whole truth. It was Satan that filled your heart to say that. By the way, you might want to read the rest of that story. You want to say that you're saying the truth, interact with the devil and tell a lie, and then say that that's what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do or leading you to say. You put yourself in dangerous ground. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. God's never been involved with a lie. This is good for us. You know what we need in this church and what we need in America? A revival of truthfulness. You know what you need in your home? A revival of truthfulness. Christian school kids, just walk in, look me right dead in the eye, and just lie to the preacher. Just sit there and lie to the preacher. Go home and lie to mom and dad. Lie to each other. I mean, we have an epidemic of habitual lying. Nobody really wants the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to believe the truth. They don't want to embrace the truth. But every single time you involve yourself in a lie, whether you believe it or whether you listen to it or whether you tell it, you allow more demonic chains to wrap your life and you allow more demonic influence into your home. There's a reason some of you can't even think straight anymore. You've been so involved in lying that you know what? The devils of hell have taken over your home, taken over your mind. He's filled your heart. Galatians 3:1. Watch this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Did you see that? Anybody here believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I do. I believe every single phrase is in there for a reason. I think when you study it in context and study it throughout the scriptures, all of a sudden certain words jump out at you. What are we talking about? We're talking about satanic influence. He says to this, Paul, people that he has ministered to and won to Christ and preached to for years, watch this. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Look right up here. If you were alive in the 70s, you're thinking about somebody's nose twitching right now, okay? Think of the word bewitched. Come on, some of you took a minute to get there. All right, come on. Come on, there's still TV Land or something. There's reruns somewhere of Bewitched. A little funny show in the 70s. Dealt with witchcraft. Introduced a lot of young people to witchcraft. Made witchcraft seem something funny. Not nothing funny about it. The word bewitched, get that, bewitched you. Cast a satanic spell on you. O foolish Galatians, who hath cast a satanic spell on you that you should not believe the truth? You get to the point where somebody tells you the truth, and no matter what they say and how true it is, you just refuse to believe it. You've been, excuse me, let me use the Bible word, bewitched. How about Ephesians 4:25? Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man... speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then it goes on to say this, neither give place to the devil. Isn't that interesting? Right after, soon after, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, is this warning, neither give place to the devil. So if you're going to lie, And you're going to involve, listen, I believe this with all my heart. The premier sin amongst Christian young people right now in America is lying. And because that is the premier sin, they have opened a satanic door into their lives. Because they don't want to hear the truth, they don't want to believe the church truth, and they deal in lies all the time, and they lie to their parents, and they lie to God, and they lie to themselves, and they lie to their friends, and they lie to each other, and you know what? They wonder why the devil has such influence in their life. Listen, you ought to stop before you say one word. You ought to stop before you answer. And decide, am I going to partner with God right now and tell the truth? Or am I going to partner with the devil and tell another lie and increase his influence? Listen, do you want to be free? I just don't understand why I struggle so much in a Christian life. Watch this, excuse me, because you're a liar. Unrepentant liar. When was the last time you got on your knees and said, God, I told a lie today and I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing and I need to be free from that. And I want to confess it as sin. People lie and they don't even feel bad about it anymore. You know, folks, there's a wonderful way to live because lies bind you. I mean, you can't even operate amongst humans after you've told so many lies. Every time somebody comes up to you, you got to think, oh, wait a minute, who have they talked to and what did they hear and what did I tell who about that? And I wonder if they've heard this. And you know what? You lie to protect the lie, and then you got to lie to protect the lie to protect the lie, and then you lie to protect the lie. And after a while, by the way, you may think you got everybody fooled, but pretty soon people figure out that you can't be trusted. Anything you say can't be trusted. Now, let me tell you a free way to live. This will free your life up. Just tell the truth. If you tell the truth today, somebody asks you about it tomorrow, you're going to have to think about, well, what did I tell them? What did I tell the person yesterday? You told them the truth. So you can speak the truth again, and you can ask a third day, and you don't have to try to remember what you said 3 days ago because you're just going to tell the truth again, and you're going to speak the truth. And if you speak the truth and live the truth and learn the truth and obey the truth, you live a free life. And if not, you are bound by satanic influences in your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That word wicked is capitalized. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. Now, I've said a lot, and I'm going to wrap it up right now. Please listen to me. God, our holy God, is a God of truth. God the Father, it's impossible for him to lie. Jesus is synonymous with the truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He only deals in truth. The devil, on the other hand, is the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of every lie. And you know what? He lies. He lies. You know what they used to say about politicians? You know how you can tell when they're lying? Their lips are moving. All right. Well, the devil, you can tell when he's lying because his lips are moving. It's impossible for him to tell the truth. Now, people that are serving God and living for God and representing God preach and teach and tell the truth. And people that are bound up in satanic influence cannot even figure out what the truth is most of the time. They've told so many lies. Now, listen to me. You have to decide who you're going to believe. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. By the way, he just told another lie. Because sin does not have long-term pleasure. It has pleasure for a very short season. You say, well, he didn't say, wait. If you don't tell the whole truth, you're a liar. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you. Oh, there's a lots and lots of heartache there too. There's lots of regret. There's lots of guilt. Here's the rest of the song. But I said, no. There's Jesus here.
Look what he offers. Now listen, what I'm saying is this. You know what? You preach, you choose Christ, you choose the devil, you choose the truth, or you choose the lie. And if you decide you're going to live a lie, you're going to live it the rest of your life. It's going to bind you. It's going to bind your, it's going to affect. Listen, you can't swing open demonic door into your home without the demons of hell flooding in. You think they're going to just stop at that sin. They're going to bring all the sins of hell with them. Listen to me. Wives, listen to me. Tell your husband the truth. Husbands, listen to me. Tell your wives the truth. Some of you living secret lives. You're living a lie. Tell your wife the truth. Tell your husband the truth. Parents, tell your children the truth. Children, young people, tell your parents the truth. Tell them the truth. Be true. I said the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Stop working your parents with lies. Stop trying to influence your parents with lies, half-truths, exaggerations, out-and-out lies. You know, you cannot, God cannot get a victory in any situation as long as Christian people are dealing in the devil's trade of lying. I'm going to be truthful with you. This is what you're going to hear from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're going to hear the truth. I'm preaching this book. I'm standing where this book stands. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't like the truth, you're probably not going to like me. If you want to live the truth, you're going to be a little uncomfortable here. Do you want to live free? Do you want to live free? Or do you want to live bound? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd take the preaching of the Word of God this morning and you'd help free some who have believed. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a hunger for the truth. Give us an appetite for the truth. Make us to be people who pursue the truth. Make us readers of the Bible and believers of the Bible and livers of the Bible, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be very careful. Very careful in our day-to-day dealings. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be honest, be cautious and careful in what we say and how we live. I pray, Lord, that some who have become bound by the chains, demonic chains of dishonesty, Lord, would find freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ and through forgiveness of sin. Help us to be very careful. I'm praying for our young people. Help them to be very careful what they say, what they listen to, what they believe. I pray that you'll help us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's believed some kind of a lie when it comes to how to get to heaven, I pray, Lord, that they'll believe the truth of the gospel this morning. Help them to embrace Christ as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name.